Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we continue our conversation about the massive youth protests in the aftermath of the presidential election. My guests are Busayo Makubela. He's a youth advocate and high school protester, and Wes Ellington Felton, musician and social activist. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Kirby. She had a comment, Busayo, about your skipping school, and obviously not just you, but the other students in this area. Suffice it to say, Montgomery County, seven schools yesterday had students leave. There were more than 1,000 students.
Yep,
actually.
Also Blair and Northwood.
Exactly.
That was Tuesday, I think. Ours was Wednesday, we had 3,000 kids come out, maybe more, maybe less. And Blair and Norwood also did a great job, came out. A couple of other schools, I heard University of Maryland also came out. So I also want to thank the caller, Kirby. Thank you so much. I appreciate your support, and I'm sure my friends and everybody else does as well. On the note of skipping the school, I also agree, you know, that's not necessarily... Oh, okay, like, I can see the stigma behind it, but change comes with the risk, and we risk the punishment from the school. At this point, they weren't too upset about it, but it was not a DCPS nor school-sanctioned event. They're not going to suspend everybody, but if they wanted to make examples, they definitely could. We risked punishment from the school. So I think that, like I said, change comes with risk. And we missed one class. One class won't be the end of your life. One grade, one missed assignment won't be the end of your life.
I agree with that, but I don't even worry about your attendance, sweetie, because of how well-versed you are and how well-spoken you are. I worry about your safety. Mm-hmm. You have to think about what our ancestors fought for and the risks. You're not just talking about a suspension. You're talking about your life. So with that being said, I just want you guys to be conscious of all avenues and all, things that could come your way. I commend your bravery. It's no way that I can take anything from you, because at 15, I wasn't worried about, protesting. It's a new day and age, so it's very commendable. And like I said, I respect that, and you have my full support. And I would if you guys were more organized in that way, so you can have that protection that you need to safely protest and have your voice heard.
Well,
Kirby, you know that there are people running over protesters. There are people that drive through you and think of you as nothing. So with that, I just want you guys to be conscious and alert of, of that. Mind you, I didn't have perfect attendance, and especially in high school. I'm not going to lie to you. I went to Dunbar Senior High School. I didn't have perfect attendance, but I was mindful. If I left school, truancy can pick me up.
Well, Kirby, I've got some other calls I need to get to. But thank you so much for your phone call, and we appreciate your passion on this issue. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
Doing
my
just fine.
Tony, I'm calling to find out what the percentage of black people that voted for Hillary versus the percentage of black people that voted for Obama. I heard that Hispanics were 25% to 35%. I want to hear the percentage on black people.
I have no idea. I don't know if anybody else.
One of the things that I can say, Tony, is that as we have heard, that the Obama coalition that we saw not only in 2008 and 2012 did not come out for Hillary Clinton in 2016. In 2012 there were upwards of some 93% of the African American vote going for Barack Obama. For Hillary Clinton, I believe it was approximately 10% less, around 82 or 83%, based on some of the polls that we've been reporting on over the past week or so. But what is your point?
My point is, why was it 10% different for Hillary?
Because Hillary's not black, if we're going to bring it to that. Black people were voting for Obama because he was the first black president. Aside from his politics and aside from him being a Democrat, it was the statement. Also, self-hate is a very real thing. That's what I wanted to say to some of the other, you know, the Hispanic vote is rising. People are afraid, people have fear, and people also start to turn that internal. When you hear, okay, all Latinos are rapists, all Muslims are this, that, and the third, and they're talking about you, it's going to affect some way. I feel like the black community has PTSD. I feel like the people of color have PTSD in America. And one of the signs of PTSD is self-hate, blaming it on yourself, blaming the situation on yourself. And that's what we're experiencing.
And one of the things I think, Tony, that can be argued, go ahead.
Without blaming the black people, 10%. If that 10% went for Hillary, then we wouldn't have to deal with this that's going on today.
Okay.
Well, you know, we also have to be careful with our innate ability to always become the scapegoat. We automatically assume that role. Let us not forget that it has been made clear that all of those Caucasian women that they expected to vote for Hillary Clinton proved that just like all those men in middle of America, they too still believe that white men are their saviors. And they proved that. And, you know, maybe out in the public, they may have said one thing, but the beauty, but also the curse of the voting process is that once you get in that booth, you don't have your next door neighbor or your cousin or your mama or your daddy next to you or over your shoulder seeing who you're rooting for and who you're choosing. And at that moment, a person is really actually voting with their own intent. So we're not going to go there because, I believe they said that black women were Hillary's highest
percentage, but it was also said that 51% of the white women who voted in this election voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That is a much more considerable. That's a much more considerable number than that 10 or 11% of black voters that did not show up.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, that's the issue. But Tony, I want to move back to the issue as it relates to this youth activism. Omar, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah. What I want to add to your point, Mr. Herr, is that also the black vote was down because of voter oppression. Okay. That's have a lot to do with it, with requiring voter ID. You know, North Carolina, they were able to lower vote 8% down, and in Wisconsin, with 349,000 voters were purged out the vote. But I'm going to get back to the young man that you have on your show. I think what he's done is really outstanding. You know, when Obama got elected, the Tea Party came out. They were protesting every day. That's how we got the Tea Party. And this young man is going to be the one who's going to make Donald Trump one-term president, because in the next election, he's going to be, and his friends are going to be eligible to vote. And they're going to remove a Republican, and they're going to move Trump out of the way, because what they're doing right now is they're trying to privatize Medicare. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody who's on Medicare is going to get a voucher. Yeah. They're trying to privatize Social Security.
They're trying to cut
students' aid. Students' financial aid, they're trying to cut it because they want to balance the budget. So this, when white people talk about our children are in jeopardy, their future is in jeopardy because the Republican agenda does not support the youth at all. Yeah. You know, it's all about rich
money.
People. It's all about people who with money. And he's already doing tax cut. This is going to have an effect on you. And it's very important that we come out every single day and protest. I'm right now outside the Hotel Trump in downtown D.C., okay? So everybody needs to come out. And they need to come out of this bubble, this shock, okay? We need to take a page from the Republican. When Obama was elected, they got on the street. They created the Tea Party, and look what we got right now.
Okay.
I'm still shocked.
Omar, thank you so much. Before I go back to the phone lines, Busayo, here's my question for you. What kind of conversations prior to the results of this election were you and your peers having about what was happening politically in America? What kind of things were you all talking about?
There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of crying and a lot of talking about What are we going to do now? It's happened. No, I feel like
before the election, before the results, before Donald Trump became president elect, because obviously we've seen this reaction to the protests. But this kind of thing doesn't happen in a vacuum. You didn't just become smart on November 8th.
Exactly.
So something was going on the 7th, the 6th and in October and August and September.
Well, it was a lot of joke time. I honestly didn't think he was going to win. I thought something was going to happen. Maybe it would have been another Bush Al Gore type of thing. But at the end, Hillary was going to pull out. I went to bed that day, a little bit early. I was just like, okay, you know, Hillary got the dub. I'll wake up to some crazy news story about how Donald Trump's going to sue America. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and Donald Trump won, and I was definitely shook. And so my friends before that had been a little more, hey, be careful. And I was kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. One of my friends specifically, Raheem, he was, you know, all on social media talking about, you know, how this voting process isn't going to affect the black community. And regardless if Hillary wins or Donald Trump wins, people of color are going to be in the same, if not, well, he would say Donald Trump would have been worse, but it's not going to get better. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that I did agree with. And that's what we were talking about the voting process before, that I don't think we can blame the people that didn't vote. I think we need to blame the people who were on the DL low-key voting for Donald Trump, and we're telling the
leaners, as what yeah, they've often been called.
But also, I think there does need to be a responsibility taken for the non-voters who choose to have a voice in the arena of debate and protest.
I also agree.
I simply say, if you chose not to vote, you have disqualified yourself from the complete process of the political process.
I definitely agree
so
with
you
that.
Can't say to some one person, say, well, this part of the political process doesn't really work. But then I want to express my ability to express my disagreement or so forth. Raheem and I had the opportunity, not his friend Raheem, but Raheem Devon. We had the opportunity to perform at Wake Forest for a bipartisan election night event. We were in North Carolina. Driving down, we saw what now are some of the photos and some of the images that some people talked about of driving down the highway and seeing people with the Trump banners and the flags. And as we got, you know, closer to North Carolina, that's when it kind of kicked in for me that, okay, like, you know, we often live in D.C. We live in a bubble in certain parts of the world and even in the country. And then just on another note, what made me really appreciate the political process and voting process this year was I met a young lady from Germany. She was so excited because her town had finally gotten a woman mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she said to me, she said, yeah, we finally got this mayor. I never thought until 100 years from now that we would have a woman mayor. So it reminded me that we often forget that the political process, but then also the process of this country, it is not about that moment of that time, that of that recorded moment in history that's occurring. There, what's going on in that moment is actually for 50 years from now. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now.
The precedent is being set now for then.
And this generation, like this brother that's sitting here with us, they're the ones who actually are based on the work. You know, I say the broke down journey that the slave trade started, civil rights movement working their hardest, colored water fountains now we're shopping at Target. The crack ain't kill us now. The music is the product. And these millennials are the ones who are ultimately going to take forth. Because they don't have the fear that we often, you know, settle for.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Melinda, calling from Northwest D.C., and Julian, also calling from Southeast D.C. Stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the youth protest in the aftermath of the presidential election. On the other side, we're going to talk about what's next. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We continue our conversation about the youth protests in the aftermath of the presidential election. Let's go to Meldina. Is it Meldina?
It's Meldina.
Meldina, thank you, from Northwest. What's on your mind?
I just want to say that I've been listening. I usually don't watch the news because I find it a little disheartening. So I make it my business to listen to your segment, and it's very appreciated to actually be able to tune in for something so positive and to get insight on what's going on around the world. That young man is nothing less than amazing. I wanted to commend him to say everything, and normally I usually have, you know, my opinion about certain things, but everything that he stated was absolutely on point. And I just want to tell him to continue to do things, you know, to speak out, to be heard, because he is our future. And, you know, we deal with so much. Born and raised in Southeast D.C., I've experienced racism. I've experienced inequality. And it's very disheartening to know that you live in a world of people that see color. And, you know, it's so commendable to hear him speak out and to voice his opinion and to basically be able to get with his peers and the positive mindset. So I just wanted to say that it's very commendable, and he is nothing less than amazing. And I'm definitely enjoying this segment.
Thank you so much, ma'am. I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Julian calling from Southeast. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, definitely, like everyone says, I want to echo the fact that, you know, it was quite impressive what the youth did. A 15-year school teacher, I often find myself, when I hear students complain about things from dress codes to not liking the food in the cafeteria, it's the inside, I'm thinking, take it to the streets. You know, you need to protest. and actually to see students do it is impressive. When the caller called and said that, you know, the scapegoat syndrome that we try to put on our community, you know, even if that 40% did vote, who's to say that the vote would have come out, you know, in your favor? So I think you got to be careful of that. What I would like to see more from the youth is more of this, but also the next steps, as other callers have said. Like, what, you know, get involved. I remember I grew up in D.C., graduated from H.D. Woodson in the early 90s, and I remember there was a young brother that went to UDC, and he was sort of like the next protege of Maryberry, and he kind of fell off, but everybody thought he would be the young, you know, the youngest mayor of D.C. and this stuff, and it didn't happen. So I would like to see whatever comes of this movement to continue to get young people involved in politics. And as I drive around Howard University finding a parking space for to go celebrate the founding of my beloved Omega Psi fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, I think it's important for young people to get out there and serve, protest, call the funk. Everything from dress codes and presidents. Take it to the streets.
Okay. Well, Julian, thank you so much. And again, yes, happy anniversary to Omega Sci-Fi coming from a Kappa man. So thank you so much, Julian. I appreciate your phone call. Taylor, calling from Alexandria. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello, Harold and panel.
Hi. How are you?
Calling in. Fine. I am great this evening. Calling just to say hello to this wonderful, remarkable young man, young sir. Listen, you keep on going. And I wanted to say to you also, if you're not already doing so, maybe do like, you know, the blog, you know, the internet thing, and do an educational thing on politics so that people, especially you young people, to understand the process of what we just went through. Mm-hmm. I think you are the ticket for that.
Okay. Well, Taylor, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call.
And I want to say happy birthday to him because he's born on my grandmother's birthday, who will be turning 93. So you're going to hold a special place in my heart, sir.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Busayo, now that, you know, you said there were other protests that are in the works, what is the message? Because, again, you know, we've heard all kinds of vocalizations of what, you know, some of the young people are concerned about. Some of them are concerned about LGBT issues. Some of them are concerned about misogyny. Some of them are concerned about, you know, the bullying. From the perspective, I should say, of your protest, what is the message that you are sending?
Definitely unity. and that we're going to stay together regardless, LGBTQ, black, Latino, anything, and that we're not going to let Trump divide us. And from that, once we get unity, we can start branching off. Once we've all realized, okay, we're here together, which I think was a big part of our protest, different schools coming out, like I said, so many people. Once we can branch off, okay, like I said, there's so many people worried about the LGBTQ community. You do your thing. There's a, you know, here could be a protest about that. But also, we don't just, once we have the attention of the protest, with petitions, we need to go out and actually talk to real people in real power, lawmaking positions. Also, what's scary about Trump isn't Trump, you know, all the rhetoric, whatever. It's his supporters, and it's the people that he can put in power. The supporters, they're going to, like, the lady hitting people on the streets, that's awful. But what's even more awful is Rudy Giuliani, you know, the stop and frisk, the people that he's planning on putting in power, and these positions of attorney general and something of staff, but
Chief of staff,
yes. Exactly. These people who are putting in the White House and in positions of power that have similar mindsets to him, but are not, you know, as flashy and talkative, but are really going to dish it out and honestly just hurt the communities. So I think that we need to worry about that. We need to focus on his cabinet and the people he's putting into power, the people that he's able to nominate, and the grassroots people that are also out there in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. You, go ahead, Wes.
I was going to say, well, you know, just a little advice. I would say, first and foremost, continue to let those things, some of those things you're saying, be the problems and the beds that the grown-ups got to lay in, because we are the ones who created this situation. It's not you guys, okay? It's not your responsibility to take that on. So don't feel obligated. What I suggest is that you guys need to now start the process of really understanding and stressing the process of voting and on every level of it. Because the way it's set up, it's like any game. You can't win a basketball game with a hockey stick. You can't win. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you are going to be a part of the process, you got to make sure that there's an educational component and a reminder of why you have to vote if you're going to do it. And, you know, history.
Yeah,
the people who came before you, before me, before him, and so forth, because the whole agenda of people like, you know, these alt-right or all these people, their agenda is to whitewash things and erase history. And it's important that as you guys are in this new, vibrant way, going through this movement, it's important that you remind and teach amongst each other and share amongst each other the stories of your grandfather or your great grandfather who, before all of us, you know, they paid many major prices to just get in the room to be considered for voting before they had to take some, you know, crazy
ridiculous test. Yeah.
And
one of the things also that I wanted to bring up, Busayo, is that, you know, yesterday, as you probably know, there was a Trump supporter, a student, a sophomore from Richard Montgomery, who was assaulted by anti-Trump supporters or Hillary supporters, however you want to put it. What is the message to those whose emotions are really, really high right now?
Yeah, I don't support that. I want to go on the record for saying that I don't support that, beating people up because of their political beliefs. I definitely don't support that. But and when, you know, emotions are definitely high in the nation right now, just like they were high when Obama won. And I think that we need to keep our emotions in check. And I feel like a lot of decisions are very emotional based and not really thought and education based. And that's a problem, I know from personal experience. So I think we need to think it through. I think everybody needs to, okay, we got the attention now. What are we going to do next? And I honestly don't know, have the full answer for that. But I do have the calm and the intelligence to figure it out. And I think that's what we need to keep in mind. And I definitely agree that voter education is so important. And, you know, the game is definitely rigged against our favor. And I think that we need to be prepared for that and ready to deal with that when the time comes for us to vote. On top of that, it's not just about voting. It's about so much more. Mm-hmm. Once we, the voting process, Black lives still matter. You know, they didn't stop mattering. And, you know, the LGBTQ still lives still matter. And I think that we just need to keep in mind that voting is a major part, and so is all the other social injustices that are encompassed, not only in Trump's campaign, but in the mindset of, honestly, the average white American, because that's been proved by this election.
Absolutely. But with that said, you guys don't have to take on some of the, you know, the weight that really the grown-ups have created.
But they're not taking it on.
And because it is the election and the election results, which is sparking this new movement, or this movement that you guys have been, you know, sitting in the cut waiting to spark, it is a voting based movement. I'm not necessarily meaning a voting avocation movement, or you're doing that, but I mean, I'm saying it's important that you understand the process of things, and not necessarily just the results.
And let me say, I believe that they do have to take it on, in the sense that even as people like Busayo are waiting to vote, waiting to turn 18, or, you know, waiting for that, you know, that gray area between 17 and 18 when they are able to vote, like you said, this is the time to learn the process, so that the 100 of you, or the 1,000 of you, or the 2,000 or 10,000 of you at this point that are not eligible to vote are so emotionally and intellectually engaged that you don't drop off between now and 2020. And not just for president, but for dog catcher.
Because you may have a classmate, you may have a classmate who are in these streets with you today, who may not make it to Columbia.
Exactly.
And later on, there may be a policy that needs to get voted through by a specific person that they need to survive.
And they need to understand what has happened between now and then. I want to thank both of you, Busayo Makubela.
Thank you.
And Wes Ellington Felton. Also, Jenks Morton down in Atlanta. Jenks, also always good to talk to you. And again, Busayo, thank you so much. I salute you. And good luck as you move toward that voting day. I look forward to talking to
you again. Appreciate it.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, November 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, on Twitter at H Fisher WHUR, or Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.